66 this morning for our Sunday school lesson. And if you don't have notes from last week, if you'll raise your hand, my son will get some of those out to you. Jax, do you have those that we just printed? The ones? Okay, he's got them. So come on out here. And does anybody need, or Brother Luke will take them there. So if you need notes, just raise your hand and get those to you. Going through our Holy Habits series here this morning. And just again, we got all kinds of habits. We just need holy habits. We need habits that draw us closer to the Lord. And so sometimes that means we got to get rid of other habits, you know, and to make time for the Lord. What I'm learning is serving the Lord takes time, no matter what habit it is, no matter what thing that we're trying to do. It just takes time. And so looking at the holy habit of living with a clean slate, and essentially, and again, I started this last week, so you probably know, but essentially this means just keeping short accounts with the Lord and being right with God at all times, and not letting sin go unconfessed, but that we would be having a habit of bringing our sin to the Lord so that He could forgive us. So we'll just do a little bit of review here, and then just had a couple of things last week that we didn't get to in the lesson. But if you weren't here or just need to remind yourself, I want to just review real quickly what we had already talked about. So Psalm 66 is our chapter. We're just looking at one verse, verse 18, where the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Dear Lord, I ask that you just help us this morning to understand your word. Help us, Lord, to understand the necessary habit of confessing our sin and understand what that means in how it is necessary in our lives to have a right relationship with you. I pray your word would do the speaking today, that your spirit would confirm the truth. Lord, I just pray that throughout our whole day here that you would just make yourself known to us. And Lord, may we leave this place today knowing we've met with you. And we'll thank you for it all. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so living with a clean slate. I talked about how everything that we do in life requires maintenance. And that is just true. Everything breaks. Everything breaks down. Things need maintenance. Nothing stays as it was forever. And that is how our spiritual lives are as well. Sometimes our spiritual lives need maintenance. We sin even after we're saved. Even after we know Christ is our Savior and we know that we're forgiven, we still sin. And those sins left undealt with will hinder our relationship with the Lord. They will not cause us to lose our salvation, but it definitely will affect the relationship. So this last week we looked at, first of all, this point here. Uh-oh, Jax, you may have to help me. We're having clicker problems the last couple weeks. I'm sorry about that. So our first point is this. Being saved is forgiveness of all sin for all time. And I referenced Colossians 2, 13, and 14 that tell us that there is a list of ordinances against us. All the sin of our life was there on the cross of Calvary. So everything that we ever do sinfully is on that list. So from the first time that we sin until we die, not just the things that we kind of think of ourselves in time, and we think, well, when I met the Lord, I'm forgiven from that point backward. But what we need to understand is, no, we're just forgiven. We're just forgiven. It's not that the Lord doesn't forgive us for the things we'll do tomorrow. It's that we're forgiven of all sin all time. You can read the book of Hebrews. It confirms that very same truth that Jesus died once for all. All sin was on the cross. All sin was there. So when we're coming to Christ and we're asking for forgiveness of our sins to be saved, what's happening is we're taken from our sinful position and we're placed in Christ. And so we're forgiven. We're completely forgiven. So when we're saved, we are forgiven. So God, I always say this to myself. I try to say it often when I'm teaching because it just helps us to understand this. All of our sin was future when Christ was on the cross. All of our sin was future. So we tend to think, well, when we get saved, then I better not sin tomorrow, which we should try not to. We'll talk about that's why we're having this lesson. But I better not sin tomorrow because Christ, he's only saved me from this point backward. That's not what the scriptures say. And if that was the case, we would have to continuously go to Christ and be resaved, resaved, resaved. And the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, Hebrews 6 tells us that if that were possible, if we had to go back and get resaved every time, that would necessitate Christ being crucified every time. Because that would mean that the payment was only good till that date. And then that he would have to go and be crucified again and again and again to again forgive us of our sins. And we know that that's not biblical. Christ came once and for all, and he paid for our sins. So it's important, first of all, just to realize that we need Jesus Christ to forgive us ultimately for all of our sin. That's step one in the Christian life. That's how we become a Christian. That's how we become one of God's children. And once we're placed into God's family, we're there. And no religious acts and no other works on our part are necessary for our salvation. Christ did all of it. So when he died on the cross, the Bible describes that as his finished work. So we don't rely on our works. We don't rely on our goodness. We don't rely on our ability to avoid sin. Aren't you thankful? None of us would make it. For Adam and Eve, it was one sin that separated them from God. I'll give you a stat here in just a little bit. I'll save it. But we do many more than one sin every day. Every day. And you say, well, I don't. You just did. There's one. Mark that off. So again, it's not in our works. It's not in our ability to, sort of rise to some level of religious service. And all of a sudden God accepts us because we're religious. No, it's because we've said to Christ, I was thinking this week about that publican that came and he was listening to the Pharisee pray. And the Pharisee was very religious. I mean, the Pharisee did all sorts of religious acts to try to be right with God. His motive may not have been to be right with God, but he was doing all these religious acts. And when he prayed to God, he said, I thank God that I'm not like this publican. I'm not like these sinful people over here. I fast, I give, all this thing. He's got this religion going. But then there's a man way off in the corner. And as you read the scripture, you kind of feel like he's as far away from the temple. And he's as far away as he can get because he doesn't even feel worthy to come in. And he smokes it on his breast and he says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And here's what Jesus said. I'll get back over here because I've messed up the camera, guys. Here's what Jesus said. So when I go away over there, all of a sudden everybody in that room stands up and starts doing stuff. One of these days I'll say, turn around and watch. All right. ADHD is kicking in. Let's get back to it. Jesus said, which one of those men went away justified? The religious, praying with himself and saying these things and relying on his goodness, or the one that said, I'm not good enough at all and I need your mercy? Jesus said that one went away justified rather than the other. So to be saved, we need Christ's forgiveness ultimately for all our sins. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. He did all the work that was necessary. He rose from the dead, showing himself to be victorious over sin and death and hell. And being now alive can offer us salvation. And it's very simple. We come to him understanding that we're a sinner. We understand what he's done for us. We ask him to forgive us of our sin. And guess what? He's never turned one person down. Not yet. In 6,000 years or so of human history, he has not turned one person down for forgiveness. Every single person who has come to him, realizing that they were a sinner and saying, listen, Christ, I need mercy. I need your forgiveness. Not one person has he turned down. So the question is not whether or not we're saved and we're constantly going and asking for forgiveness. And again, I got to go and ask for forgiveness again to make sure I'm going to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. We know we're going to heaven because of what Christ did. That's an eternal gift, Romans 6:23. So why then after I'm saved, would I have to go and ask for forgiveness? I'm going to teach a little bit on that and review some, but I just want to remind you this is an easy way to put it. Once I get married, I'm hers. I was trying to think of a snarky way to say that. That's good enough. I'm hers, right? We're married. Now, whenever I have a bad attitude one day, maybe I didn't get enough coffee some morning and I'm short with her or whatever the case, and I trespass on my wife because I've hurt her feelings or said something off or anything like that. Insulted her, or maybe I haven't done something for her, whatever. We sin against one another in a marriage. If you're married and you haven't sinned against one another, I question whether you have any idea what's going on, because that's just part of marriage, is working with one another and forgiving one another. You know, when you do marriage counseling with young couples, it's very important to have a huge lesson on forgiveness, because there's going to be needed. But just because I hurt her feelings and she's upset with me and we're not talking and, you know, we're upset with one another, does that mean the marriage is over? No, we're still married. But it sure enough affects the relationship. I mean, you know that. It's very awkward. It's very quiet. It changes the relationship. Okay, so why do we go before the Lord? Okay, so now it decided to work, okay? Salvation results in the forgiveness of all sin and changes our position and standing before God. Okay? While we are forgiven of sin as far as the eternal judgment, so once we're saved, we don't have to worry of going to hell. That eternal judgment, Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation. No condemnation. You say, how that doesn't seem fair. How could you escape judgment? Because Jesus was judged in my place. I didn't escape. I escaped it, but the judgment was judged. It was paid for. Okay? We're forgiven of our sin as far as eternal judgment, but unconfessed sin hinders our relationship with the Lord. So when we go along living our own kind of way and we're not paying attention to the commands of our Lord, we're not doing things we should be doing, we are doing things we shouldn't be doing, it messes up our relationship. You think you're going to have an effective prayer life if you're living with unconfessed sin? No. You think that the Lord's going to sort of just kind of overlook some of these things and bless your life and your family and your walk? You think you can maintain a proper testimony for Christ if you're living with unconfessed sin? You see, those things are messed up with our sin. Okay, so I gave you a couple examples. The example of the laver, where the high priest was brought in one time. He was washed from head to toe. It's a representation of the day of salvation, you know, getting saved. But then when he comes to serve the Lord, every time before he goes in that temple, he had to wash his hands. And that's a picture of cleaning off the filth of the world, cleaning off those things so that we can go in and serve God. And again, that's the picture of going back to the Lord, asking for forgiveness. Jesus showed the very same picture when he washed the disciples' feet. Remember, he wanted to wash their feet. He's going person by person, washing their feet. He comes to Peter. Peter says, Lord, you can't wash my feet. Now, Peter's heart was, you're the Lord. You're the Messiah. You can't touch my feet. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, have no part with me. So what does Peter do? He jumps to the other end of the spectrum. Okay, then wash my head, wash me head to toe, Lord. I want to have a part with you. And the Lord said, no, I just want to wash your feet. You've already been washed head to toe. Those that are washed head to toe only need a foot washing. That's the Southern interpretation of what he says, Southern translation of what he said. You know what he's saying? It's like, this is representative of you're saved. You don't need that eternal forgiveness. That's done. But you better deal with the stuff of the world that sticks to you. And you got to deal with it often. And he gave them a pattern that they should follow. So this is what happens in the Christian life. We're living in this world and we sin occasionally. If we say that we have not sinned, go read 1 John. We lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That's what John says, 1 John. So let's just get over it. After we're saved, we are going to sin. No one is going to live perfectly. And so we are in need of regular confession, cleansing, not for salvation. I'm trying to be very clear there. So many world religions teach, go into confession. That way you can go to heaven someday. If you leave sins unconfessed and you die, your family has to go in for confession for you. This is not biblical. This is not right. So why do we confess our sin? It's to maintain our relationship with the Lord, to maintain our communication with the Lord and His hand of blessing. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation was taken care of the day that we got saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. So, but we do need, again, we need a regular habit of confessing sin to God so that we have an open relationship with Him. All right, so I'm going to suggest to you three habits. The first habit is this: it's immediate confession. Immediate confession. Why would I wait until my nighttime prayers, or till the next morning, or to some other point to confess a sin I know that I've already done? I mean, what would be the purpose of waiting? But here's what we do. Okay, so let me go back to the husband and wife. And by the way, I just want you to know, me and Tiffany are doing fine, okay? But I keep using these examples, and I hope that you're not thinking, well, boy, they're having problems, you know? No, we've been together, 18 years? I mean, she knows who I am by now, and we're doing great. But look, you understand this, I think. So why do we wait? So let's say I sin, whatever it is. I tell a lie. And then I know immediately the Holy Spirit says, oh, you just told a big one right there. You just told a lie. And the Spirit, He doesn't like it. So inside, I know I've sinned. Why do I wait to ask for forgiveness? Here's my issue. If I wait long enough, I'll forget that I did it. And then what do? We'll get to that, okay? But why do we wait? We wait because, this is my theory. When I sin against you, or my wife, there's a cool down period. Okay? Let's say she made a fabulous dinner, but for whatever reason I didn't like it and I made some comment. Okay? Now listen, I'm not that dumb, so I'm using examples. But she gets upset with me. I go, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. That was not loving my wife. That was not admonishing her. I actually put her down. I wasn't thankful. I mean, you realize just that one little thing is like four sins. You know, it's just not being thankful, not lifting her up, not loving her as I should. We have no idea how much we actually sin. Because that one little thing, I mean, I could point out several verses I just broke. Okay, so let's say that, and I know I said it. Now, if I say to her immediately, woman, I'm sorry. Probably shouldn't start with a woman. Love, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes as human beings, someone's not quite ready to forgive. Now, they should. Okay, that's also a sin, right? Again, one interaction, how many sins come out of it? A lot. But we're used to people needing a cool down. Does that make sense? We're used to being like, well, so let me get... So usually it's the wife and she... Not usually. Sometimes it's the wife and... She does something to the husband. No, usually it's the husband that's just got to be mad for a while, you know? And so he's slamming the door a little harder than normal, you know, and walking around. He's gruff and goes out in the shop. And, you know, one preacher told me ever married man needs a shop. I think that's probably true. But you go out to the shop and you're out there, you know, doing nothing. You go out there and smash your thumb with a hammer and the Lord says, get back in there and get right with your wife, you know. But, you know, wife knows, just let him be for a little bit. And then I'll say, I'm sorry. That's how we as humans do. That's not good, by the way. It'd be good in that dinner table situation I was talking about if I would just say, man, I'm sorry. I was unthankful. This is good. You work hard all day. You prepared this meal. It'd be even better if I said that in front of my kids. Let them hear me apologize. They hear it all the time. We don't do that because we feel like people need a cool down. But listen, God doesn't need a cool down. God's not going out to the shop and raging for a couple hours. He's longing for us just to ask for forgiveness immediately. So when we've told the lie, we've done the thing, whatever it is, it's good to just immediately go to Him. Lord, man, that thought was not proper. Forgive me. Lord, that thing I just said was not true. Forgive me. That attitude I just had, just forgive me. Immediate confession. We need to be in the habit of this. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes it's a short time of prayer. Sometimes it's just a few words acknowledging the sin and asking for forgiveness. Again, it's not about religious practices. You don't have to leave work and drive to the church and come up here to the altar and bow down and ask God to forgive. Now, if you come up here and pray, He'll hear you here too. But you understand, you can pray right where you are, right where you sinned. Lord, forgive me. He's not looking for us to make some penance and do something. And He just wants us to ask for forgiveness. Now, this ties into what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we're talking about having a continual prayer life, a constant open relationship with the Lord, a constant open conversation with God. If you're praying to the Lord and you're always got the line open to God, I'm telling you, it's easier to go, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have looked at that. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. And just as soon as you sin, you can be right with the Lord if you gain this habit. But we don't always do that, do we? So second habit, daily confession. It's just a good idea to understand that somewhere in the day we have fouled up, whether we knew it or not, and confess to the Lord. I just thought if you sinned once an hour, if you just sinned once an hour, which I think is extremely low, and you're like, well, how bad do you think we are? I'm just telling you what goes on in here, what comes out of here, what comes through here, and here. Sin's happening a lot, okay? So once an hour for 75 years, it's 436,800 sins. It's probably extremely conservative. I don't know about you, but a lot of those I do, and I don't realize it till later. You ever do something wrong and it's like you didn't realize you were wrong until later on? I hate when that happens in marriage, but it does. You think you're right until then you know, oh no, I was wrong. So it's good to go daily. And the Lord gives us His model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and He includes it. And when He's going through that model prayer, remember, He's not telling us, repeat these words every time you pray. But what He is doing is He's teaching His disciples how to pray. And so, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know, at the beginning of our prayer ought to be worship to God. I mean, let's don't go into God not understanding who we're talking to. Okay, so the Lord's not saying every time you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. He's saying when you pray, you better acknowledge who you're talking to, that you're talking to God and His name is hallowed. He is to be worshiped. Okay, so we go into, this is how the Lord's teaching His disciples to pray. And He says, include in your prayer and forgive us our debts. I wrote it down so I wouldn't miss say it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Included in our prayers to God, at least daily, ought to be this thing of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. It's interesting that the Lord calls our sins debts. And we can't pay them. It's just, will you forgive me? This type of daily confession needs to be a habit when we go to the Lord in prayer. If we're not asking the Lord to forgive us when we pray, we're missing something major in our prayer life. As Psalm 66:18 says, where we just were, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You want him to hear the rest of your prayer? You should probably include that forgiveness thing up there near the top. And that's what Jesus does when he's teaching it. It's right there at the very top. Okay, so not only that, we don't need to get too far away from our sin, like I said, that we forget or we don't confess it at all. I'm that way. I will do something, and then sometimes I just feel like I even forgot I did it or didn't realize I did it. And so we've got to be in the habit of immediate confession and daily confession. Or we could say it like this, prayer by prayer confession. When you pray, say, forgive us our debts. When you pray. Now, don't make it something you just say. No, acknowledge sin when it happens, when you pray. We need to deal with a couple of different types of sin, so I just threw this in here. We'll have to deal with sins of commission and sins of omission. I think you know what this is. But a sin that you commit is a sin of commission. You did something wrong. You physically overstepped a boundary that God placed in your life. Sin, okay? You did something. You said something improper, or you... whatever the case is, you did something wrong, something that you did. But then there's sins of omission. I think we forget this a lot of times. Lord, what didn't I do that I should have done? Did you know we're commanded to pray? We're commanded to read our Bibles. If we neglect to read our Bibles and pray, that's a sin. It may be that we need to say, Lord, forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for not reading. Forgive me for not taking that opportunity to be a witness. Forgive me for not giving. For whatever it is, there's a lot of things that we don't do that are just as much sin as the things that we do. So the process of becoming a little more like Christ each day is daily and immediate confession. Before we forget, okay? Before we forget. I love how forgiving God is. I mean, we ought to be thankful how forgiving he is. You know, you'll be praying and you'll just think, man, I've really messed up I just messed the whole day up. So I'm praying, asking the Lord to forgive. At some point during that prayer, don't you feel like the Lord says, okay, like, you've said it. I've forgiven. Get up, move on. And he doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't sit there waiting for you to do it again or expect, you know, he forgives. He casts that sin, the Bible says, as far behind his back. You know how far that is? Neither do I. That's a long ways. So confession. The last one is this. And sometimes we get to this place. This is not the best. But I'm just going to call it the blanket confession. The blanket confession. Now, turn if you will to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. So it's Wyoming. A lot of folks own guns in Wyoming, so you understand this reference here. You know, after you shoot your guns, you're supposed to clean them every time. You're supposed to. Not everybody does. But every now and then, you got to take the whole thing apart down to the pins and clean it out, don't you? A couple of guys in here I'm looking at, ladies too. Molly, don't shoot me if I say something wrong. That's what this one's like. It's like, okay, I'm doing that immediate confession. I'm doing that daily confession and prayer by prayer confession. But here's what happens sometimes. And the reason I told you to turn to Psalm 51 is because this is the story of David. What happened in David's life is David, there's a host of sins that take place in David's life back in the Old Testament, okay? And David is one of the heroes of the Bible, but he had many faults and failures as well, specifically with his family. Well, anyway, first sin was he should have been going to war with the rest of the country, but he stayed home. And so rather than going and engaging in the battle, when kings go to battle, he stayed home. And so he's there at home. He's alone, none of his soldiers around him. He looks out, he sees who? Bathsheba. Okay, so he set himself up for failure by not being with Uriah in the first place, Bathsheba's husband. But anyway, he sees Bathsheba. She's a fair woman to look upon. Before you know it, he sins with Bathsheba, commits a horrible sin. The next thing you know, Bathsheba is with child. So now we can't just sweep this one under the rug. It's going to come out. And so what does he do? He gets Uriah home and he tries to cover it up that way. But short story is, Uriah is too much of a good man. And he couldn't even hide it with Uriah, so he sends Uriah to the forefront of the battle and tells them that when it's the hottest part of the battle, retreat, you leave Uriah, he'll get killed. He even tells him, don't worry about it when that happens. I mean, awful stuff. David, who killed Goliath, sins with Uriah. Well, he doesn't go out to war, sins with Bathsheba, lies to Uriah, kills Uriah. What we find as we study the scriptures is, it was a year later that God had Nathan, the prophet, go to David and give him that story about the sheep and, and all that. And David said, that guy ought to be burned, And he says, what? Thou art the man. And all of a sudden, David knows God has not forgot about this sin. You have not confessed it. And for a year, you have not confessed it. Can you imagine, just for a second, take that year of David's life. How do you think David's prayer life was that year? How do you think David's testimony and witness was that year? How do you think his godly living was that year? Another psalm, Psalm 32, describes for us that his bones were drying out. He was dying on the vine because he wouldn't confess the sin. And so there's no way to know how much sin accumulated between the first moment that he didn't go to battle and when he confessed his sin. There's no way of quantifying all that happened there, because for months and months, he wasn't confessing sin. Because if he was, he would have confessed the big sin. So all this stuff is just piling up on him. And I'm just going to say it like this. It would be impossible for David to remember the last year and point out every time he went wrong and confess it to God. When you find yourself in that position, you almost think, well, I've gone too far. I'm done. No. David goes to God in Psalm 51, and he lays out what I call a blanket confession. He's overwhelmed with the amount of sin in his life. He's overwhelmed at the egregiousness of the sin. He's overwhelmed with the problems that have been brought into his life because of the sin. For one, his newborn baby dying. He's in need of forgiveness. But if you notice in Psalm 51, he doesn't ever make a list of sin. Have you ever noticed that? He doesn't say, Lord, forgive me for not going to battle. Forgive me for dealing with Uriah as I did. Forgive me for this thing with Bathsheba. No. He just lays it out, blanket. Lord, I'm all messed up. I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness of everything. I want to come clean. I want to be right with you. So let's read it. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth, in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see what David's doing? I need a recreated heart. I need a renewed right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How do you think David's joy was that year? Non-existent. He says, I want to be joyful in the Lord again. I need forgiveness. If you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life, can I help you? You may need to confess some sin. Unconfessed sin robs us of our joy, because the Spirit is in us and He's convicting us, and the Lord's trying to get our attention through the circumstances of life. I'm just telling you, it's not a happy place to be. So he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and hold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. David's saying, I want to get back to serving you. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. How do you think David's worship was that year? He said, I want to sing of your righteousness again. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. He's saying, how can I repay for these sins? I can't. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So David comes to God. He says, I can't pay for this thing. I can't even list it all out. But I need forgiveness. I have a broken spirit. I have a contrite heart. I want a new heart. I want a right spirit. I need your mercy. And the Lord forgives him. You know, sometimes we just get to a point where you don't even know what to say. God still wants you to confess. And so I hope, I pray that we will make confessing our sin a regular part of our life. Instantly, like when it occurs, instantly, when we know we've sinned, just don't even wait. If you're in a crowd of people, leave the room, go out, ask for forgiveness, get it over with. Daily, when we go to God in prayer, remember to clean the slate before you begin to speak to the Lord. I mean, before we ask him anything, we ought to ask him for our forgiveness. And thirdly, when it all has piled up and we just are done with our way of doing life, we need to get right with God. Psalm 51 is there. Blanket confession. Make it a habit. Just get over it. You sin. Make it a habit to get right with the Lord. Let's stop there. Next week, we'll move on to our next habit. Lord, thank you for who you are. And Father, just being who you are, it's astounding that you would hear our prayer or care about what we have to say. But we know that you do, because you've told us you do. And we thank you for that. We pray that you would help us to get over our pride and the things that are keeping us from confessing sin. Get over our lack of repentance, the fact that, Lord, maybe we just don't want to quit whatever we're doing. Convict us in a way that we would turn back to you, repent of our sin, get our lives right. I pray you'd help us to make this a habit. Remind us later today and tomorrow of the importance of constantly and openly confessing sin to you. Thank you for being our mediator. Thank you that we can go to you directly and we can be right with you. We can all leave this place today right with you. I pray if anyone's here today that isn't right with you, maybe they don't know you as Savior at all, or maybe they're a Christian with unconfessed sin. Lord, I just pray you that we'd take the opportunity today to make it right. Bless the day, Lord, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.